It's Food Friday, and our guest wants you to think beyond the common, enriched, refined white flour we use in a lot of our cooking and baking, and embrace the world of ancient grains. She includes 8 of them in her new cookbook, covering barley, buckwheat, corn, oats, rice, rye, sorghum, and, yeah, wheat. These grains can bring depth of flavor and texture, even some health benefits to your baking. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are any of those household words in your kitchen? Do you embrace some of these grains in your own cooking? Do you have a go-to recipe that uses the buckwheat, barley, oats, whatever it might be? Are you a fan of Wisconsin sorghum flour? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Wait, do we have that number up yet? No, we've got to use this different number. Ready? 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452. Our 800 number is down for the count for the moment. I'll keep you posted. Roxana Julepot is head baker and owner of Friends and Family Bakery in Los Angeles. Her new cookbook is called Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. Roxana, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, looking at your book, I can tell you love these different grains. What got you so interested in cooking with this variety of grains?
Well, my enthusiasm first started with seasonal things, you know, all kinds of fruits and herbs and produce, because we have such abundance of all of those things almost year round here in California. And in time, it became very obvious to me that grains fit that profile. They are also seasonal. They are definitely agriculture, and they can reflect the rhythms of the year, depending on how and when you use them. And they are incredibly interesting as far as flavor and texture and history.
One thing I love about this group of grains you suggest cooking with is it looks to me like it doesn't have to be particularly expensive and it doesn't have to be particularly complicated, right?
Absolutely not. All you have to be is just a little bit more curious.
I can do that. Now, ancient grains, what do you mean by that phrase?
Well, the terminology gained speed recently because we started to trace back all the seeds over time. And this applied to all of agriculture, not just grains. And we can definitely establish an origin of a lot of these seeds and determine that they have been living among us, among humans, for millennia. And a lot of these seeds have changed over time because they have been adapted, whether by natural methods or by intervention of us humans, whether it's in a lab to create GMOs or like more traditionally grafting techniques that we do over long periods of time. And somewhere along the line, we created new varietals and new species. The species itself started to sort of evolve, just like us humans and many other species in the plant and mammal kingdom. And what ended up happening is that we could identify these ones that prevail, that kind of like survive all this period of transformation and evolution. So those are really, they are literally ancient seeds that are still with us.
We are baking with Roxana Julepot on this edition of Food Friday. Her new cookbook is called Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. She says we can do a lot with a wide variety of grains in our baking and pancaking and more. You can join in if you use grains kind of outside of the box for our normal cooking, or if you have a question, 608-890-3452 is the number to call today. 608-890-3452, or post the Ideas Network Facebook page. Roxana, you shared some recipes with us, and I love that you started us off with a classic that we could try different grains in, chocolate chip cookies, which I love. And your base recipe uses sorghum, which we grow here in Wisconsin. Tell us about this twist on the chocolate chip cookie.
Well, I realized that I was going to have to use some heavy, convincing techniques to bring people along in this grain adventure. And it seemed to me that illustrating that we can make time-honored, celebrated goods that we make all the time and just changing the flour could really have an impact on demonstrating my theory that grains can't just really permeate our baking and our cooking every single day.
All right. And so talk about sorghum in a chocolate chip cookie. When I'm tasting it, and I will, am I going to notice the difference because I use sorghum instead of flour? like white flour?
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you know, the cool thing about sorghum and the reason why I think it has gained a little bit of popularity recently is because it is 100% wheat-free or gluten-free, right? So what that helps us do is bake for folks that are having issues consuming gluten or have a little bit of intolerance with when exposed to wheat. So it has an incredible value for us to be, you know, to bake for that population. But, you know, if we were to like leave all dietary restrictions aside and just think about what sorghum does to the cookie, you could actually blend it with a little bit of all-purpose flour just to gain this like amazing chewiness and a little bit of nuttiness. It has also a really good sort of natural sweetness to it. And it makes a really pretty looking cookie also, which cool. I think is important.
And then your chocolate chip cookie is this sort of tapestry that you can weave in a whole bunch of different grains. You then offer substitutions. If you don't want to do the sorghum, you could try most of the other grains in your book.
Right.
And a lot of them work with the chocolate chip cookie.
100%. And what I wanted to sort of point out is that this is just 8 examples. You could discuss the limit. Like, you can definitely try this with other things. The one grain that I thought wasn't very successful was cornmeal in this recipe. But that's fine. You know, cornmeal has so many other benefits and it's so equally and incredibly delicious that we don't have to make cookies with it. But one of my favorites is actually rye. Rye flour is so versatile, a lot more than we think. And it pairs beautifully with chocolate. So this is a total winner. And that is the version that we make here at Friends and Family, our bakery here in Los Angeles.
Okay, but I don't want to leave corn out of our conversation because you write
no.
that corn is one that you grew up with in a lot of forms. Can you talk about the versatility of corn and cornmeal in our baking?
Right. So my heritage is actually Costa Rican on my father's side. So I did grew up eating tortillas and tamales and all kinds of other items made with nixtamalized corn. And then when I moved to the United States, I saw a prevalence of corn that is just ground straight from the corn kernels into cornmeal and, you know, discovered the world of cornbread and corn muffins and all these other delicious things that are so deeply American. So my love for corn was deeply reinforced. So corn is as American as apple pie. It really is like the one grain that is endemic of our area, of our entire continent. It has also been interpreted and manipulated by many, many subcultures of the Americas. So the sky's the limit. When I was writing Mother Grains, at times I felt that I could write a book called Mother Corn. That's how huge the world of corn is.
And you gave us a recipe with the corn. It's a white cheddar cornmeal biscuit recipe. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, so the cornmeal makers or millers of the world are have a lot of possibilities when it comes to creating corn products. So it, you know, cornmeal comes in different size of grind, you know, and that's really, it just referred to the size of the particle size of the grind. When we say coarse, it's just a little thicker. When we say fine, it's just a little bit finer. Then there's what we call corn flour, which is like even finer. And I like to use sort of like the smaller size of cornmeal when we make this biscuit. However, it is really delicious with coarse cornmeal as well. And what makes it special is just a little toothier, you know? And if that's something you enjoy, you can definitely use coarser cornmeal. The one thing that I do is like I do blend it with a little bit of white refined flour, all-purpose flour, mm-hmm. just to make it more supple and add that structure that the corn doesn't have because it is, in fact, a gluten-free flour.
We're talking to Roxana Julepot. She's the head baker and owner of Friends and Family Bakery in Los Angeles and a grain advocate. Her new cookbook is called Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. You can join in at our temporary number, 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452. What questions do you have about using some of these different grains we're talking about? Do you have a favorite from this list? The buckwheat, the barley, the sorghum, rice flour, maybe you name it, rye, oat. Call in now at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Roxana Julipat, head baker and owner of Friends and Family Bakery in Los Angeles, focusing on local and ancient grains. Her new cookbook is called Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. She says we can make great foods with great textures, flavors when we bake with a variety of grains. And we want to hear from you at 608-890-3452. Do you like to experiment and use different kinds of flours, for example, in your baking? What is your favorite? How about pancakes? Do you mix things up with the flours in there? Call 608-890-3452 with your questions or experiences. That's 608-890-3452 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Roxana, we got an email from Grant who wonders if you have suggestions for a method of sprouting whole grain berries. Grant wants to use them for sourdough bread baking, apparently. Do you have some thoughts for Grant?
Absolutely. Grant, this is one of my favorite things to do, and it's actually quite easy. And not as contrived as we might think. I definitely include a method in Mother Grains because I use it for a couple of the breads that I make with rye, which is one of the most fun grains to sprout because it's actually really beautiful. So you want to get really nice berries that have not stuff that you found sitting in your garage 3 years later. You definitely want to make sure that there's a level of freshness and that perhaps the seed itself hasn't been compromised, meaning that it hasn't been contaminated perhaps or anything like that. It has just been like fresh from a farm and maybe sitting in your pantry. So what you will do is like you'll take the grain and the grains themselves, the kernels, and you're going to find a really good size container. I like to use a 1-quart container for about 1 cup of berries. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and pour cold water over them. Let them soak for about 5 minutes and you're going to drain them entirely over the kitchen sink. Those grains are going to go into that container, that 1-quart container, and you're going to put a lid on it. Ideally, you would be able to poke holes on the lid, whether it because it's a mason jar that you can poke a few holes or a plastic lid, or you could even use a little bit of cheesecloth that you just wrap around the mouth of the container, maybe with a rubber band. The next day, you're going to repeat the same process. Soak for 5 minutes, drain back into the container, cover. The next day, you should have sprouts already. Now, here in the summer in California, last time I did this about a week ago, the sprouts were crazy. They became almost grass within just like 2 to 3 days, right? So once you see the protruding little, kind of like a little bit of a sprout coming, but peeking through, you can put them on in the refrigerator, and that would slow down the germination process. You can wait 1 or 2 days before baking, but do realize that they will continue to sprout further, so they will get you will get grass just like I did if you don't use them quickly enough. And by the way, all of this happens at room temperature. Those first few days will happen at room temperature.
Hope that helps, Grant. Do you have a question about how to use and bake with different kinds of grains or a favorite one yourself? You can ask our guest, Roxana Julipat, author of the new book, Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. You can call in now at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452 or email ideas@wpr.org. Okay, recipe time again. I love pancakes. I used to use a lot of different grains in my pancakes. Then along came kids. I had to tone it down a little bit. I could sneak in some wheat flour. Kids are going to be at college a month from today, so I can start making cool pancakes again. You gave us some baked buckwheat pancakes with berry compote. Tell us about this. It's buckwheat, and it ends up being baked Roxana.
Right. So the cool thing about this pancake is that I love the idea that you can just make one giant pancake rather than make a stock of pancakes, especially when you're not baking or cooking for a large group of people now that your kids are leaving the house. So it's kind of like a perfect lazy Sunday morning breakfast. You can make a very simple pancake batter. I do use about 50% buckwheat flour to 50% all-purpose flour. However, do keep in mind that it does work with just buckwheat flour. I add the all-purpose for a little bit of balance and just to make it safe to flip because that gluten really helps with those maneuvers, right? And what's really, really cool about this technique is that because you start the pancake on the stove like as you would a traditional pancake, you get a really nice crusty situation right at the bottom. And then when you put it in the oven, you get what we call oven spring. And it's that sort of lift in the middle that makes it really nice and cakey. And then we flip again to get color on the other side. So by the time this pancake is ready, you have the best of both worlds, like really good texture caramelization on the outside and really, really tender center in the middle.
That's buckwheat. I know I've mixed in some cornmeal over the years, a blue cornmeal too. What else works well in our pancake mixes?
Absolutely everything. You know, I definitely use a couple of recipes to test the flavor and dimension and potential of each flour that I encounter using my chocolate chip cookie because I know it so well. I can predict how it's going to behave and then the new flour just has the time to shine because I've controlled all the other variants, right? But pancake is also a really, really great way to discover grain. First, because it's a very low investment of time and product, and the results are quite immediate. So for example, I was just in Chicago yesterday, and I came back with a flour from this farm or mill called Morning Glory Grains from Winnetka, Illinois. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Tomorrow morning, this soft red winter wheat flour will become a pancake. And there's very little room for error because, you know, pancakes are a very loose formula. And you can always, if the flour seems like it's too branny, perhaps our pancake is going to be a little bit drier, right? Because that's what bran does. It absorbs a lot of liquid. So all I have to do is add a teeny bit more buttermilk. So it's definitely an ideal recipe for improvisation.
Suppose we want to level up, not just buy the flour off the shelf, which is what I would do, but we want to grind our own. You talk about that in the book. How big a deal is that to do?
Well, you know, it all depends on where you're at in your grain journey, right? Some of us really, really enjoy the process from, like we say, from the field to the cake, right? And every single sort of stop along the way. So this is cool to do. And especially if you live in an area where there's a high density of grain growers, that's definitely an interesting pursuit because a lot of grain growers don't actually mill flour. They just sell the seed. And then a home countertop mill can give you a lot more possibilities. So there's just a couple of things you have to do and learn how to do. It's as easy as operating a coffee grinder, perhaps, or even a food processor. However, one thing that we always want to preserve when we're milling wheat is sort of to make sure that it's happening in a coldish environment, that the grain doesn't warm up too much because grains actually, we don't realize, but have a high content of fat or high-ish, right? And when we heat up the grain through that milling process, we could create a situation in which the grain or the fats in the grain can become rancid. And then we have a shorter shelf life. So a really cool and easy tip would be to store your seeds in the freezer and grind from frozen, which they don't really stay frozen for very long. But that just kind of buys you a little bit more time. and prevents the grain from overheating in the mill. There's a couple of options. They range in prices from like $100 to $400, and they produce really, really decent flour.
Right, and we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Roxana Julepot, head baker and owner of Friends and Family Bakery in Los Angeles. We've been talking about her new cookbook. It's called Mother Grains, Recipes for the Grain Revolution. She shared a few recipes. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday, a baked buckwheat pancake with berry compote, white cheddar cornmeal biscuits, and a chocolate chip cookie recipe, this one with sorghum, Wisconsin's own. Check them out. Let me know how they go.